good morning again, everyone. Thank each and every person for being here, wherever you're watching from around the world or in the room. Go ahead and give someone a high five, fist bump, physically distanced, of course, whatever that looks like. I got some virtual ones. If you're watching online, thank you for hanging out with us. We would love, love, love for you to do that. Give us a high five, fist bump, smiley face, whatever it is. Let's have a good day today. It's going to be a great day today. Why? Because Jesus is alive, right? He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, right? Jesus is alive. We get to be here today. So if there's nothing else that we can celebrate of everything else going on in this world, we have a hope. And if we will look to that hope and we will live in that hope, we are going to have the best day ever. And so for each and every one of us, I'm so thankful that we are continuing in our series called I'm In. Because what we've been walking through in this series is who we are at the Vine, who we serve, and where He is leading us today and in the future. And so I'm thankful that we're diving into this because I believe it's a great refresher, a great reminder, but it's also just a point to everyone who hasn't got to hang out with us yet, who we serve, and why we even do what we do. Because it's all for Jesus. Every bit of it is. Everything we do is for Jesus and His name alone, and He works it out for His glory and for our good. So we say this at the Vine all the time as you're getting to know us. Maybe it's your first time hanging out with us. We say you're only a guest once. After that, you're family. So I want to say if you've been here more than once, welcome to the crazy family. It's a big crazy family because Jesus has me in it. So it's a crazy family. It's a great family. So family always knows each other, good, bad, and indifferent. So here we go. We're going to get to know each other today. I love reading these comments, by the way, after. It's so awesome to get to know each other. So let your neighbor know. If you're watching online, leave a comment. Whenever you're watching throughout the week, leave a comment answering this question. I would love to know this today because I'm pretty sure it's going to be the classic answer, and I can't wait because my answer is the classic answer. So here we go. What's your favorite bonfire / campfire food? What is your favorite bonfire / campfire food? Now, all of us know the burnt top of the mouth marshmallow where you've overcooked it. You got to have that somewhere when it comes to campfire and bonfire answers. So I can't wait to read some of these because I think mine's a classic answer. It's a s'more. I mean, you got to have a s'more. Maybe somebody, I know some folks who are like, they can make breakfast. They can get a skillet out and they can like do all these crazy awesome things. I would lose my eyebrows if I partook in that. So for me, I'm not that cool. But I will tell you, there's s'more. S'more seems to be the classic. That's my answer when it comes to campfire or bonfire or a burnt roof of your mouth, like, you know, marshmallow, whatever that is. Cause you know, it's for me, it's almost like when you leave it on too long. No, I didn't. I meant to burn it. No, I didn't. No, I didn't. Yeah, you did. You burn it. It's okay. That's why you have a whole box of them, right? You have a ton of fun. So I'm thankful to get to learn from that. Read from each of you. I saw some interactions in here. So I'm thankful that we're getting to know each other today. So let's get to know what Jesus has called us to here at the Vine today. And just to recap, if it's your first time hanging out with us, we started with the number one thing about the Vine that I want you to know about the Vine, and I want you to know about each and every one of us who are followers in Christ. The number one thing we believe here at the Vine Church is Jesus is the center. He's the center of everything we do. He really is the head of everything we do, but He is the center. He is the filter. He is the lens from which we look through everything. If He hasn't called us to it, we're not going to participate in it. It don't matter how great an idea it is. It don't matter how good it makes sense on paper to do it. If Jesus isn't in it, we're not going to waste our time doing it. Because all we're doing is building for ourselves. And He said He will build His church and He will build His kingdom and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And the only way that we can partake and partner in it is if He is the center. And so the number one thing we believe here at the Vine Church is Jesus is the center. Then we stepped into the next thing we believe at the Vine Church, and it's this. We believe living a faith-filled big life starts with small next steps in Christ. So after we've made Jesus the Lord of our life, we all have a next step to take. Guess what? Today, all of us are going to have a next step to take. Whether we take it or not, I can't make that decision for you, but I can promise you we're going to lay it out. And I can promise you if the Spirit is leading you, we'd love to walk with you through it. Because here at the Vine Church, when it comes to next steps, we want each and every person to get to know God more. We want each and every person to take a next step to get to know God more. We want each and every person to get to take a next step to find freedom from their past sin, freedom from their past shame, freedom from their past guilt. We want each and every person to know why they're here, know what their gifting is, know what they're called to do. And we want each and every person here to take a next step to know that they are here to make a difference for eternity. Not for a church role or a church log, but for eternity. Last week, we dove into Jesus washing the disciples' feet, and we talked about here at the Vine Church, we believe in honoring one another to glorify God. We believe in honoring one another to glorify God. We believe that generosity is the fuel that propels the gospel to the ends of the earth, but serving is the delivery system. And Jesus showed us that. Serving is the delivery system. Here at the Vine Church, we want to laugh loud, laugh hard, and laugh often because we want to serve God with the people we love. And that's how we know we take a next step. Because when we honor each other and we humble ourselves, we lift each other up. And so we believe in honoring one another to bring God glory. And last week, we also talked about life change. We believe at the Vine Church, life change happens best in Christian community. We said, hey, next steps that we can take sometimes is just to get in Christian community. We find forgiveness in the Lord when we repent, but we find healing when we confess to our brother, confess to our sister. Because on the back end, we think, my goodness, if they just knew they're going to leave me, if they just knew they're not going to love me. And the funny thing is, every time we step out in faith and talk to our brother and sister in community the best that we can, when Jesus has called us to, on the other side of that is always, I thought I was the only one. Or I've just walked through that season. Let's walk through it together. There's always healing in it. Always healing if Jesus is the center. And so, as we get there, I need to make sure my southern twang is coming. Center. I need to make sure I say that because it sounds Jesus is the center. And he took on sin for us. Praise his name. But he is not the center. He is Lord of Lord. He is King of all. He is the sacrifice that paid the price for us to be set free from sin. But if he is the center, each and every one of us will have a next step. And so today, guess what? I'm so excited that we continue into a next step that we also take here at the Vine. And this is where the pen is going to drop. And I can't wait, but we're going to have fun with it. I promise you right now. The next thing we believe here at the Vine Church is we believe you can't outgive God. You cannot outgive God. You can't outgive God. Now, I want to take the pressure out of the situation. Quite frankly, this is not going to be a message where I'm going to talk to you and I expect you to give. You're not supposed to give out of compulsion or out of emotion or out of feelings. Jesus said he's not after that. He doesn't care. It's all his anyway. He's after your heart. And so today, many times you'll have those folks like, I'm not going to sit here and I don't care, they can kick me off and tell you I'm selling my sash because I washed my head with it after the service so that you can be healed. I'm not doing that. That's not what we believe here at the Vine when we say you can't outgive God. What we do believe here at the Vine is, guess what? You can't outgive God. Why? Because he first gave. He first gave and you can't outgive him and he gave all. And so here at the Vine, I want to tell you, today is not going to be a pressure about giving. Today is going to be a celebration and a walking forward in a next step. And so here, I want to go ahead and tell you, we said it a second ago, generosity, it's the fuel that propels the gospel to the ends of the earth. 100%. Serving is the delivery system, but it takes a generous heart to be able to be willing to share the gospel in every way, shape, or form with your time, your talent, and your treasure. And what I want to celebrate here is not a number. What I want to celebrate is Jesus Christ doing what only he can do. And I want to share this with you today because it's exciting to me. It's a number, but more exciting is Jesus in it. So since 2017 launch here at the Vine Church, we've been able to sow into global missions $110,105. That is absolutely crazy. I'm excited for it because here's the thing that you're going to know. That number is going to make sense a little bit later because you're saying, okay, so since 2017, you've done this. Well, just a reminder, this is a church that loads in and loads out every week. This is a church that's not in a building. This is a church that sets up chairs and believes that Jesus is going to fill them every week. This is a church that willingly gives of their time, their talent, their treasure, and say, Jesus, it's yours. It's yours to give, and it's yours to take away. It's not ours in the first place. It's all for you. And so when I celebrate that number and we celebrate that number, this is the impact and the seeds that we get to sow in eternity. And so when I'm talking to you today, it's not a pressure, it's an opportunity that we have said yes to go sow into global missions, to go sow into gospel-centered nonprofits, to go sow into people and meeting them right where they are. Because here at the Vine, we know if we open these doors, there's too much opportunity in a broken and dying world to not be generous. Isn't there? Right now, it's magnified. Right now, it's bigger than ever. This season that we're in is bigger than ever. We can see that people are hurting, searching for the hope of Jesus. And they may find it in a political figure. They may think that it's in a political ideology. They may think it's in a bank account and a degree that's hanging on the wall. And it's not. It's only Christ and Christ alone. And so for each and every one of us, we want to celebrate that because we're a part of Jesus building his church around the world through that. And so we are called to be generous, and so we are. It's not something we do, it's who we are. Generosity is just who we are. It's the love of Jesus. And so today, when it comes to generosity, I want to share with you three mindsets of generosity, and I want us to see maybe where we are in the next step we need to take in it, because even I have a next step today. We all do. So if you've got your Bible today, we're going to be in a place we never go to. We're going to be in the Gospel of John. Who am I kidding? We're going to be in the Gospel of John, chapter 6. John, chapter 6. Go figure. You know I'm going to be there. And if you know anything about me as you're flipping there in your Bible to John 6, we'll land at the end in Exodus. We'll get back there. We'll get there all the way at the end. Realistically, we'll be back in John. But we want to. Exodus 13 is where we'll land in the very end. But John, chapter 6. Is where we're going to be today. And if you know anything about me, I've shared this all the way through. I'm somewhere of a cross between Peter and Paul. And I shared this last week, so I'm going to go ahead and give you a pastor joke. Peter and Paul, and if I had Mary, we'd start a band. Some folks got it. It's great. So I'm somewhere between Peter and Paul. And the reason I love the Gospel of John is known as the love. He is known as the disciple of love. And so it is the person I wish I was most like. Even though I don't see it in myself, I'm more Peter. I'm hard-headed. I'm stumbling, bumbling, fumbling. That tends to be who I am. And so when it comes to John, I think the draw of the Gospel of John to me more than anything is because it's who I would like to be. I would love to be like John. Actually, I would love to be like Jesus more than anyone, but I would love to be a disciple like John is to show love. So here we go. John chapter 6, we're going to talk about three mindsets of generosity if you're taking notes today. And I think we're going to see something new and see Jesus do what only he can do. So here we go. John 6, verse 1. Sometime after this, Jesus crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee. That is the Sea of Tiberias. And a great crowd of people followed him because they saw the signs he had performed by healing the sick. Then Jesus went up on a mountainside, sat down with his disciples. The Jewish Passover festival was near. We talked about Passover last week when he washed the disciples' feet. This is right before he does that. When Jesus looked up, he saw a great crowd coming toward him. He said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was about to do. And Philip answered him, "It would take more than half a year's wages to buy enough bread for each one to even have a bite." One single bite. Half a year's wages. Can you imagine that? We know if you're looking at this, there's at least 5,000 men, probably well over 10,000. It could be swells up to 20,000 people standing there. And Jesus is saying, "Hey, go feed them." How would you feel? Don't give Philip a bad rap. I'd be like, man, to even have a Hershey Kiss, these people need like half a year's salary. Like, to even have a morsel of bread, it's half a year's salary. How in the world can I do that, God? I don't have that currently in my little satchel that I'm bringing with, my little pockets that I have in my tunic. Lord, how in the world am I going to have that and do that? And so, another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. This is why we're in the Gospel of John, because this is what I love that points out in this story. Verse 9, here is a boy with five small barley loaves and two small fish. You see, I love, John is the love disciple. Luke is the one, when his gospel is the one that's very, he's a doctor, so his is very particular. Pay attention, it's small loaves and small fish. We're not talking Jonah and the great fish, this poor little boy's carrying around with him in his sack lunch. He's got small fish and small loaves. But how far will they go among so many? You see, the thing that we have to see before we talk about the first mindset of generosity is Jesus always presents an opportunity in front of us to see if we want to play a part in it, to see if we want to trust him enough to step into it. He really already knew what he was going to do. He knew he was going to feed those 5,000, but he goes to Philip and says, "How are we going to feed them?" You see, that's what Jesus does with us many times. He's really asking the question, "Do you trust me? Hey, do you trust me? Hey, go talk to that person you don't want to talk to. Do you trust me in it? Hey, go serve. Go do this. Do you trust me? Hey, I'm calling you to go completely the opposite direction. Do you trust me to do it? Do you trust me?" And so when we look at the three mindsets of generosity, we have to see the first mindset is the one we probably struggle with at times, and it's this, the bag mindset. The first mindset of generosity is the bag. And this is what the bag will tell you. The bag will always say, "There is never enough." The bag mentality says, "There's never enough." Philip picked up that little bag, that sack lunch from that little boy, and was like, hey, I mean, I know it's 5 loaves and 2 fish, but there's no way this is enough to feed these people. Like, Jesus, I know you're cool and all. I've been learning from you. You said I was going to be fishers of men. I didn't know that I was also going to be a catering business. But at the same time, this little bag is not going to be enough. And if we're in this mindset of generosity and we're stuck with a bag, we are stuck believing that there will never be enough. We don't trust Jesus with our finances because there's just not enough. We say, if I can get to this place, then I'll do what you've called me to do, Lord. If I can get to this space, then I'll do it. Jesus, why aren't you asking them to do it? Why in the world they live in this neighborhood driving this? Why in the world aren't you asking them to give? Why are you asking me to give? And yet we can see if we're stuck holding the bag and we're in the bag mindset, all we care about is what's in the bag and not the greater good that Jesus has called us to. And so we'll carry our little sack lunch around and say, when this bag gets bigger, oh man, I'm going to be able to do so much more. But look what Jesus does with that bag here in just a minute. You see, there was another disciple that held the bag. This is why I wanted to point this out to you when it comes to the bag mindset of generosity. See, there was another disciple that had the bag that Jesus invited an opportunity to partake of, and his name was Judas. See, believe it or not, Judas came in, and he was the treasurer. He was over all of the tithes and offerings, and that famous story I've talked about over the past few weeks where the woman poured out the oil, and they were saying, hey, why in the world? We could have sold this. Judas was the one who said this. We could have sold this and given it to the poor. Why would you let her wash your feet with oil? Well, this expensive oil. That, a matter of fact, now Philip said it cost a half a year's wages to feed over 10,000 people. This oil cost a year's wages, at least, to this woman poured out upon Jesus, who was anointing him for burial. Here's the thing. Judas said, hey, you could have sold it to the poor. You see, here's the thing. When I catch myself doing that, I'll just be honest with you. It's because I'm more worried about what the other person has than what I have myself. It's an excuse when we say we're going to give it to the poor. Because you know what? If we really cared about the poor, we'd already sold it all and gave it to them anyway. And that's a tough pill to swallow. And if we're there, we're in the bag mindset. And I'm telling you, Jesus has set us free from the bag mindset. That's trusting him today. Now, does that me telling you right now, empty all your bank accounts so I can go get my Learjet? No. I'm not that pastor. I don't work that way. That's not what God's called me to be. I'm not a prosperity gospel person that's running around peddling something false. I'm being honest with you to tell you, if you're stuck with a bag mindset, it's all about you. And when you die and you cross over to eternity, you're only worried about your U-Haul down here instead of the pearly gates that you're going to get to walk through. And Jesus died so that we wouldn't have to. And if we want to model his love to the world, we can't be stuck with a bag. And so today, I want to tell you, if you're in the bag mindset of generosity, trust Jesus, whatever he's calling you to do. If he can take 5 loaves and 2 fish and feed well over 10,000 people, what do you think he can do with a dollar he's calling you to give? I don't even care if you give it here. Give it wherever he calls you to give it. Give it to your local church. Give it to the one down the road. It doesn't matter. There's one thing that he says, test me in, and it's that. Trusting him by giving. Trusting him with our finances. Because see, if we're completely honest to me, and then I'll get off of this because I can tell you, I didn't really experience this all the way through until I trusted Jesus with my finances. And I'm telling you, it ain't always easy, 100%, but it's always worth it. The question that Jesus hit me with is this, and we're all going to be in agreement here, so I want to tell you one last thing, and we'll move on. We're going to have some fun. This is the pin drop moment, so we're good. How many of us would say we want to steal from the tithe box today? No one, right? Zero. Like, even if you don't know Jesus, you're like, I'm not going to go to the church to steal from the tithe. I might make change from it. Like, I might need to break a 20 or something. I need a 10 and 2 fives. There's a birthday coming up or something. But like, I'm not going to steal from the tithe box, am I? Yet so many times, the thing he's called us to give is sitting in our bank account, sitting in our retirement, sitting in the car we drive. Now, hey, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to drive mine until it dies. That don't mean that I'm doing it the right way. Everybody knows. But at the same time, I got to trust when Jesus calls me to give, he's over all of it because it's his to give and take away. And so if you're stuck holding the bag today, let's go ahead and drop it, whatever it is, and trust him. Because if we're holding the bag, it shows us selfishness, not generosity. Generosity says this before we move on, like, I will give without expecting anything in return. selfishness that we're born into, selfishness that is sin that our heart is born into, says, I give to get. I only give because I want something back. That's the only reason I give you anything, is because I want something back. And if we're stuck in selfishness, then that's when we're stuck holding the bag. But if we're generous, we understand when we drop the bag, the right person might come right along beside us that's been praying for the miracle that they pay their power bill this month, and that bag's sitting right on the ground. And Jesus just worked through you, and you may not even know it. So today, let's drop the bag. We're going to be good. Let's drop the bag and not get stuck holding the bag. Let's continue on. Verse 10 says this. Jesus said, have the people sit down. There was plenty of grass in that place, and they sat down. About 5,000 men were there. Then Jesus took the loaves. He gave thanks, and he distributed to those who were seated. I love this. As they wanted, as much as they wanted. So in other words, it ain't like homecoming where there's only two crock pots of macaroni and cheese, and you say, hold up, Lester, calm down now. There's about 50 other people that's got to eat this. Now, I done seen you get 5 spoonfuls. Calm down just a minute. Like, that ain't for you. Like, if you know the real way to do it is you go to the dessertry, if you will, first. You get that first if you know the rules of homecoming. But anyway, you know that because it's all going to be gone when you get there. So I'm saying right here, I love that Jesus said, hey, 5 loaves and 2 fish, take as many as you want. Take as much as you want. He didn't condemn them for what they took. He didn't have the disciples sitting out there saying, Judas over there with his arms crossed, Philip saying, how in the world is he going to feed all these people? Peter's out there. He's probably trying to figure out, like me, he's trying to figure out, how much is this going to cost again? Like, what in the world is going on? Like, where are we going? He's headstrong. He's probably looking for the next place to go. John is over there loving on everybody. I mean, it's crazy. And poor Bartholomew, we talked about him last week. He's somewhere out there wondering if he's going to get his letter written or whatever. Poor Bartholomew. I can't wait to see him at his gate in heaven one day. It's going to be awesome. But anyway, when it comes there and we go there, Jesus says, take as much as you want. You see, whenever we come to Jesus, it'll always be that way. The thing is, did we go to him first, or did we go to what we have in our hands first? Because when we drop the bag, we'll go to him first. It goes on to say after that, he said to his disciple, gather the pieces. He did the same with the fish after the bread. When they had all had enough to eat, he said to his disciple, gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted. I want to say this before we move on. I know we're stopping and starting a lot, but you know that's how I roll. Whatever season, whatever you're going through right now, this season we're in right now, it won't be wasted. And Christ is never wasted. We maybe can't see in the midst of it. Like, I can imagine those people. Imagine being man number 4,550, seeing this little bread going along, and he's like, oh, by the time it gets here. It's not like the Chick-fil-A drive-thru that's good. Like, you know, they know how to rock and roll and get that in and out. Like, it's not like that. It's worse. We won't name competitors. So it's worse. And so he's probably thinking, that person's like, my family ain't going to get to eat. Like, my goodness, the milkshake's already going to be melted by the time it gets here. Like, he's thinking all of these things. And yet when he gets there, he has as much as he needs for him and his family. And there's even leftover. Because with Christ, nothing is wasted. So wherever you are in this season right now, would you give it to Christ and understand that it won't be wasted? That it won't be wasted? And through this season, he'll provide everything you need and more. Would you just trust him? Because right now in the world we're in, that ain't it. All we hear about is the politics of what's coming up. All we hear about is the cure of a vaccine. All we hear about is everything else. And I just want to put it all on the table because I don't get caught up in all that crap. You know how I roll. Jesus is the only hope for a dying world. Nothing else. No matter what you're walking through, all of us are sinners in need of a Savior, and he is the only one, and he is our only hope. And whatever he's called us to, whatever days he's marked on this earth, we will live out. Not a day more, not a day less. Each and every one of us, he is over all of it. And so would you trust him when you go to him, that he won't waste the season you're in? Because the only way that your season's going to be wasted is if you were that little boy and you walked around with your 5 loaves and 2 fish and said, y'all look hungry. You know, just sat there eating. Like, imagine that. But that little boy gave his offering. He dropped the bag and they could eat. Know that it won't be wasted. So they gathered and filled 12 baskets. One of my favorite parts of this story is they had all had 12 baskets. And that's probably what Peter was doing, is trying to find the baskets that were left over. I don't know, whatever it is. Like, these 12 baskets showed up out of nowhere. Jesus had them ready so they could fill them with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. See, I love that Jesus set up a system for the people to be served, a system for them to trust him, a system for a next step to be taken. Then all the people were fed. He blessed it, he broke it, and he distributed it. That's who he is for us. That's who he is for us. He's our blessing. He was broken for us, and now he has given us a way to take a next step to trust him, whatever that is. If we don't know him as our Savior, we can do that. If we don't trust him with our finances, he'll do that. If we don't trust him in our relationships, he will be the one that blesses it to be more than enough, to be honest with you, with what we need. And so when we look at this, we can see the second mindset of generosity is the basket. First was the bag. Second is the basket. The basket. They all filled up 12 baskets. And imagine that, they had to lug it back to where they were going, 12 baskets. So the bag says there's never enough, the basket says there's always enough. If we're operating in the basket mindset, we've taken that next step to trust God with our finances enough to know that we're always gonna have enough. Because we've dropped the bag and we've picked up the basket. And with a basket, we know there will always be enough. And that's so important for us to understand that there will always be enough. That's trusting God with your finances, whatever that looks like. That's trusting him with it. That is giving a tithe, that is giving offering, whatever that is, if whatever that looks like for you, whatever he's called you to, that is trusting him with your finances. When I say that, I'm not talking to you. Listen, I told you, I don't beat you up about a number. I don't beat you up about a percentage because quite frankly, I don't care. It's all his to begin with. It's not mine. It don't make a lick of difference to me. It's his. It's all his. If he calls you to give a dollar, watch what he'll do. Because you see, the thing is, the Pharisees gave a tenth of their spices, but Jesus didn't notice them. He noticed the widow's mite and he saw her heart. And he said, she gave all and trusted me with it. So I don't care about the number or the percentage. It's, do you trust Jesus with your finances? Imagine those disciples picking that up and filling the basket. Did they trust him they were going to fill it? Obviously they did. They took part in the opportunity that Jesus called them to. And so for each and every one of us, what I want you to see is the basket. Now this is, once again, Jewish culture is not normal to us, so I want to talk to you about what Jewish culture looked like. Believe it or not, they gave probably about 30% of their gross income to the church. Not telling you to do it. Let's just calm down in the room. Like, we're not going to have paycheck verification where you all leave your information here on the way out the door. That's not how I roll. But one of the ways they gave is this. What would happen is during the harvest season, the last 6 feet, we talked about this during Ruth and Boaz's story, beautiful story. The last 6 feet around the edge of the field was always left for the poor. See, God's welfare system was always meant to be the church, not a government, not anything else. It was always supposed to be the church. It was always supposed to be it. And so what ended up happening is the harvesters would have a basket. And you see what would happen is the ones that were harvesters and were wage workers, they were paid for the day's wage. Not the job being done. It's different. Have you ever paid somebody for the job being done versus paying them an hourly wage? Which one do you pay more for? The hourly wage all day long, right? That's what happened with the daily workers, not the ones that you pay for a job completion. So these workers would go and they would leave out, they would have their baskets. And imagine if you knew, you would probably stretch that daily wage out as long as you could. If you knew something was supposed to take 20 days, but you were gonna get paid by the day, and you knew that the harvest festival was 30 days away, you're going to get them 30 days, ain't you? Maybe you only get 3/4 of the basket full. Maybe there's a half basket full. Whatever that looks like, you're going to bring in if you're a worker. But let me ask you this. What if you're the poor needing provision? What's your basket going to look like? I guarantee you it's going to be full, ain't it? What if you're a man who's trying to feed his family or a woman trying to feed their family? It's going to be pretty full. You see, this is what Jesus was alluding to, and that's why the baskets were there. Look in Luke 6, 38. If you want to flip there, you can. I know it's a quick back and forth. If you want to look, it's right before the Gospel of John, Luke 6, 38. Jesus talks about this idea of the basket, and he goes back to the field, and he says this, "Give and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." So I just told you the worker and the poor man. The worker doesn't want to carry a full basket because that's backbreaking labor. But the poor man, I guarantee you, he's going to go heap up, get that basket in, right? A good measure. He's going to press that thing down, everything he can get in there. Then if you ever did anything and you're trying to fill up a basket, you're going to shake it up next, right? You're going to shake it up, and that's going to fill in the gaps. And then you're going to go fill that basket to the brim, falling over so much so that what's left over will land in your lap, and you will be able to feed your family. That's what Jesus does for us. That's what he called the disciples to do. Hey, go fill up your basket. Just trust me, it's there. Did the disciples bring anything to feed the 5,000? Absolutely nothing. Yet Jesus provided. So why in the world do we struggle with trusting him in our finances? Why? It's all here. So that goes out. That's part of that $110,000 that we've got to be a part of. Like, that's what he's called us to do. So we go out and we don't tell you to trust God with your finances and then don't steward them well. We actually live it. We live it. And the difference is in this season, I will tell you the blessing as your pastor is we're not worried about whether we're going to be here next month. God willing and the creek don't rise and the sun comes up, we're going to be here. Because it's not going to be our finances that's going to be the issue. It's just not. He's called us to pick up the basket. And so wherever you are today, maybe he's calling you to pick up the basket. Awesome. I can't tell you what that number is. It's not up to me. The Holy Spirit inside of you, if you're in Christ Jesus, is more powerful than I will ever be. But I can always point you to Jesus and say, what is he telling you to do? What's he telling you to do? Trust him in it. He's just asking, will you trust me? Will you trust me? So we'll trust him for eternity, but we won't trust him with that. Hey, not just finances. So I'm gonna get off that for a second before we move on. Maybe it's our time. I'm guilty as everyone. I ain't got time for this. This is crazy. Boom, 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 just stomping. I don't have time for this. And yet somehow that same 24 hours a day that I get, that you get, he always makes a way, don't he? He always makes a way. He always makes a way to make a way. Or maybe it's your talent. And you think that God can't use it because you think it's not good enough. I promise you, inside of his body, he can work through any of it. Maybe your talent is counting people. Praise God. There's a place for you here. Maybe it's singing. That's awesome. Maybe it's playing an instrument. That's awesome. Maybe it's hanging out with kiddos who are on a sugar rush. Praise God for all of their energy. Whatever that is, if that's you, we can do that. Inside the church, there's a place for you. But will you trust him with it? Because the thing that I loved about the system that he had is he sat them all on the grass. It's funny. That field had just enough space for all of them to sit down and be fed. It was already ready. Whoever harvested that field before Jesus came had already prepared it before they even knew he was going to show up. How about that? See, wherever God's calling you to, it's already prepared. Drop the bag and pick up the basket. Watch him do what only he can do. Verse 14, John 6, verse 14 says this. We'll wrap this story up that we know. After the people saw the signs Jesus performed, they began to say, surely this is a prophet who has come into the world. Jesus, knowing that they intended to come and make him king by force, withdrew again to a mountain by himself. See, the thing is, Jesus didn't need their leftovers. It don't take faith to give from leftovers. We learned that from Cain and Abel. Like, if you go all the way back in, that's exactly what the story is about. There was a first fruit given, there was a firstborn sacrifice given, and there was a leftover given. That was the difference in Cain and Abel. And Jesus and God doesn't need our leftovers because that's not faith. That's not faith. And when he calls us to be a part of it, he partners with us in faith to trust him. That's what it's all about. And so I love this, that Jesus doesn't need man to crown him king. He didn't need them to make him king of Israel. He's already the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. He's the Prince of Priests, the Mighty Counselor. He is the one who is over it all. So why in the world would he need a crown? Because he fed some people. Instead, he was trying to say, this is something so much greater than being a prophet. So much greater. This is him being a savior, providing a way for us. And so I've talked to you about the bag, and so we're gonna drop the bag and say, stop saying there's never enough. Maybe Jesus is calling you to trust him in your finances and say, hey, with a basket, there is enough. With a basket, there's always enough. But maybe, just maybe, he's called you today to live out of the barn mindset. Now, this is, I know you're searching John 6 and you're rifling through. Was there a barn somewhere that I met? What was, oh my goodness, did old McDonald show up on this thing? Like, what happened? I don't see that in this story. And I want to tell you before I show you where it is, the bag says there's never enough. The bag says there's never enough. The basket says there is always enough. And the barn says there's more than enough. There's more than enough. I'm going to show you where the barn is here. You're expecting me to go to Proverbs 3:10, and I'm not going to. I'm not going to. Everything in me wants to. I'm not going to. I'm not going to put that out there in front of you because you're going to think, well, I got to give because he told me to give. No. I'm not here to make you give out of compulsion or vain conceit. I want you to trust what God's called you to give because he's after your heart. He doesn't care. He owns it all. What do you give somebody who owns it all? You. He doesn't need any of our money, but he'll use it and work through it if we'll trust him. If we'll trust him. So the barn mindset says that there is more than enough. So not only do we really operate out of the basket mindset, here at the Vine, we operate in the barn mindset. And I want you to see why we operate in the barn mindset. And I want you to know when I say there is more than enough, because here at the Vine Church, we take up a heart for the house offering where we invest in the community. If there's somebody that we see in need and they come to us, we are able to help them however Jesus sees fit. Here's the thing I will tell you though, if Jesus didn't tell us to help you, we're going to point you to him and get you to somebody who he's called to help you. Because the worst thing that we would be able to do and the worst thing that we would do is try to step in when Jesus is already trying to move. And some folks don't like that because it means you ain't going to be liked. Jesus didn't die that I could be liked. Jesus died so that I could have life. And so if he's called us to it and he's the center, then we get to step in. But many other times we'll see him move miraculously throughout this. And so I will tell you, 15% is what Jesus has called us to in picking up the basket, but he's allowed us to live out of the barn because over 30% of all tithes and offerings has gone out that we've received since we've launched. Now you say this, you say, well, hang on, like, you don't have a building. $110,000, like I'm looking at, you can't build it, I'm sorry. You can, don't, spare me, that's all right. You can text it to me, because I can't build a birdhouse, much less a building, okay? I can barely build a sandwich correctly. So we're not gonna talk about how much it takes to build a building. Now I can tell you how much it costs to build a house. Amen, praise God, from whom all blessings flow. But when it comes to that, I wanna tell you, don't talk to me about it. I would say, you would say, well, why in the world wouldn't you keep that in the bank until the building shows up? And then you can give more. Well, here's the answer to that. Because Jesus called us to it. And I'm telling you, he's already provided the building. He's already provided the space. And how great would it be that the partnership he's given us at the YMCA, what if he's provided the space and a new church was able to launch out of here and we paid their rent for a year? And they took that up. How great would that be? That's the barn mindset. That's the mindset we're living in. He's going to provide the space. The field was provided, and so was the provision, so much so there was leftover 12 basketfuls. Now, if you've been with me for a while, you know I believe those 12 basketfuls are the ones the disciples like got to witness to all the way through in their time. And Jesus is saying, here's the bread of life, share it with the world. And those were the people he was laying in front of them to be able to present the opportunity to share the gospel with. That's just me. I could be completely wrong, but I believe that there's a point in that. And the thing is, when we live in the barn mindset, man, we know there's more than enough. There's always more than enough. There's more than enough. And you see, the reason that that's important is I stand here and I live that out. Hey, I get to be a pastor realtor. I say that all the time. It's good times. I get to build tents. As Paul did, that's what God's called me to because it's what's right for my heart. Anything else, I would try to be picking up the bag. Now, we'll have a staff here at the Vine, and we're going to pay a staff at the Vine. And by all means, you know what? Like, staff at church should be the highest paid, most loved job that you ever work in because there's no better place to work than the church. Why? Because we're all messed up. And if you know that and you step into it, you can get that. You can get that. All of us have issues. All of us have problems. But the thing is, God always provides through it. And I can tell you, it's not been easy living in that, but I've got to meet some amazing people, and God's always provided. Always provided. He's always provided actually more than enough. More than enough by doing that. I know here our Vine fam, there are folks who have allowed me to help them. Praise Jesus. And they stuck in there with me through it. But also in real estate, but also I know folks who have just trusted God with their finances here and said, Jesus, this is what you're calling us to, so we're going to do it. It doesn't make sense to do this, but we're going to do it. It doesn't make sense on paper for us to do it, but you're not a God that makes sense on paper. You're a God that makes sense of faith. You're a God that makes sense of me being a sinner, needing a Savior. You're a God that loves me enough to give and would be willing to die instead of not being in a relationship with me. So much so you gave your one and only son for me. So we trust and live in the barn mindset. So let me show you really quickly where the barn mindset comes from. And if you got your Bible, go all the way to the front. It's a big turn. It's a big turn. You can do it. You can do it. Exodus 13, verse 11 through 13. Here's where the barn comes in. Because see, Jesus didn't need man's title. He wasn't here to seek our title, to seek our acclaim. He was here to set us free. Exodus 13, verse 11 through 13 says this. After the Lord brings you into the land of the Canaanites and gives it to you as he promised on oath to you and your ancestors, you are to go give over to the Lord the first offspring of every womb. All the firstborn males of your livestock belong to the Lord. Redeem with a lamb every firstborn donkey, but if you do not redeem it, break its neck. Redeem every firstborn among your sons with a lamb. Right? It'll be with a lamb as well. So we know, if you don't know, if whether you grew up in church or not, Jesus is the what of God? The Lamb of God, right? Jesus is the Lamb of God. So a lamb redeems a donkey. A donkey is an unclean animal. And my friends, that's me and you. And I want to tell you right now, we had to have a lamb redeem us. And that was Christ Jesus. You see, the lamb was all in this story. The barn was all in this story. The lamb was being prepared to redeem the donkey. And I want to tell you, when it comes to a donkey, if the Lord can work through a like me, a donkey like me, he can work through anybody. And if he can save a donkey like me, he can save anybody. And if he can be and redeem someone like me, he can do the same for you. And I'm telling you, that's what Jesus was doing. He was saying, hey, this feeding of the 5,000 is just a glimpse of what I'm trying to do to set you free, to be the provision for you, to be the sacrifice for you, to be what I was made to be, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and the Lamb of God who has come to set the world free. Jesus lived out of the barn mindset of generosity. So much so, he gave all. He gave all. He gave all. And so for each and every one of us, I want to tell you right now, wherever you are, I would love for you to talk to God about where you are. What mindset of generosity are you in? I know many of us here are in the basket, and I'm thankful for that. But you see, the difference in the basket and the barn is there's going to be a moment in your life, and I don't know when it is, but God's going to call you to make a heartbreaking, painful offering. I'm not asking for money. Let's just get it out here. I want to put it all out there. I've had to make those. But he prided. He made a way. He made a way for the offering. Even when I didn't, and it was just in time too. He made a way. He's called me to give offerings to church before that I've been a part of, and there was no way it was going to happen. And he said, hey, you know that thing that's been sitting in your drawer forever? Sell it. You don't need it. He made a way. I know we have some folks that are working through that even here in our family. Like, that's what happens. He made a way for it to happen. So he's calling all of us. He would love for us to be out of the barn. But did you know what's crazy is only 5-7% of Christians ever even get to the basket mindset. 5-7%. 93% of us have the opportunity to at least step and pick up the basket. At least step and pick up a basket. And so today, I just want to say the reason that I know we have a God who is a generous God, and I trust him with a basket. I trust him with a barn. He wants to give me a barn, that's fine. There's hay in the barn, that's good. I'm sure Tim McGraw's got a great song about it, right? Like, we got some things that are happening, right? Down on the farm, just country boys and girls. If you know, you know. Anyway, but there's a barn. We can live through the barn, and we can trust God with the barn because he redeemed us, because all of us, like that donkey, are destined for death without him. We might as well be walking around dead with our neck broke. But he loved us enough. He made a way. And the reason I know God is generous is he did the thing I couldn't do, giving what I could not give, living the perfect life, sinless life that I couldn't live, dying the death for my sin on the cross, loving me enough not to stay dead, but rose again on the third day. He gave me what I could never give so that I could receive the one thing that I never deserved, and that's life. And he does the same for each and every one of us. Living in the barn mindset, that lamb gave life to that donkey. And so for each and every one of us, the Lamb of God has given all of us life by living in the barn mindset of generosity. And so today, when it comes to this, I just want to ask you, what is God calling you to trust him with today? Maybe it isn't a finance. Maybe you fully trust God with your finances. Praise God. Maybe he's calling you to trust him with relationships. Maybe he's calling you to trust him with your time. Maybe he's calling you to trust with the talent that you're just afraid to give to the church because you're not quite sure how it's going to go because you were hurt so many times in the past. Trust him with it. Trust him with it and watch what he'll do. And so for some of us, he's calling us to trust him with that. For others of us, he's calling us to trust him with our life. You see, John 3:16-17 reminds us if we'll trust him with our life. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Verse 17, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. God is not standing there saying, I know what you did last night. You can't come into my presence. How dare you? You're not gonna make it. You're never enough. You're never going to be able to see the light of day, that you're always going to be stuck like this. No. He's welcoming you with open arms. Jesus came to set us free from the penalty of sin that is death. And so today I want to ask you, if you've been holding on to the bag of your life, holding on to the bag of success, holding on to the bag of job, holding on to the bag of career, holding on to the bag of holding it all together, I just want to say, how's 2020 going for you? Because I'm pretty sure if Christ ain't in it, I'm pretty sure it looks like the world crashing, burning, and hopeless. But if Jesus is your Lord and Savior, there's always hope. The barn, there's always hope. There's always more. And so today, maybe you've never trusted him with your life. We're gonna pray together as a family for the benefit of those coming to faith for the first time. Not the words of this prayer that will save you, but the faith. You are literally saying to Jesus, I trust you are who you say you are. And so with every head bow and every eye closed, I'm going to ask everyone to please repeat after me. Dear Jesus, I believe I'm a sinner separated from you. I believe you came, lived the perfect life I couldn't live, died the death, paying the penalty for my sin on the cross, but loved me enough not to stay dead, but rose again, so that I may have life. Come take over my life, Lord. Teach me to follow you step by step the rest of my life the best way I know how. And with every head bow and every eye closed, if that's you and for the first time, you can say that you have given your life and trusted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. I'm going to count to three and I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. 1, 2, 3. If that's you, if that's you, if you're watching online and that's you, you're gonna see, you may see a hand that's raised wherever you're watching or wherever you're listening. Please, if that's you for the first time, you've given your life to Christ, please reach out to us at prayer@thevine.tv or give us a text message or give us a call at 864-580-6698. We have folks that wanna celebrate this decision, this next step with you, and we wanna take next steps with you through the season you're in and walk with you through it. So please, don't let today go by without letting someone know. And for the rest of us, you can look up, we're about to worship. And I just wanna say, I know Jesus is calling all of us to say yes to him to something today. I don't know what it is. It's a next step. It's a next step. Whatever it is, will you trust him enough to say yes today? Because we're about to have worship and praise, and we're going to be singing, Yes, I Will, and we're going to be talking about, yes, Jesus, I will go where you call me. And so today, maybe in this moment, it's time to drop the bag. Maybe in this moment, it's time to pick up the basket. Maybe in this moment, it's time to live through the barn. Whatever it looks like, I pray and I hope in this time of worship that we just say, Yes, I will, Lord. Here I am, Lord, send me. Here I am, Lord, use me. Yes, I will. So if you'll stand, we're gonna worship.
I count on one thing, not fail me now. You won't fail me now. In the waiting, the same God who's never late is working all things out. You're working all things out. Oh yes, I will lift you high. Fail me now. You won't fail me now. In the waiting, the same God is never late. He's working all things out. You're working all things out. Oh yes, I will let you hide. No.
Thank you guys for being here with us today. We are so thankful. We're about to pray. And I pray today, no matter what, that all of us who have a next step to take, that we would just trust Jesus to take it. You know, so many times we can get caught up in the minutiae and get caught up in all the things that don't, honestly, I know it sounds crazy, you're going to hear me, that don't matter. The best thing to do is take the next step that God's called you to take, whatever that is. That's the next step. Don't worry 7 steps ahead. Don't worry what happened 10 steps behind. Just trust him to take the next one, because he's going to light the way to do it. So I'm going to pray. Then we're going to get ready to come back here next week and have an awesome week. So dear Jesus, thank you for this day today. Thank you that we can give because you first gave. Lord, I'm thankful that each and every one of us get to be a part and partner with you in building your kingdom. You didn't have to allow us to do it, but you chose us to be a part of it. And so I'm thankful, Jesus, that as we trust you by each faithful and obedient next step you've called us to, that we get to be a part of something greater than us. We get to be a part of the barn. We get to be a part, not just of the basket where there is enough, but there's always more than enough when we're in the barn, because the thing is, you've allowed us to be a part of eternity's changing across this world. People that we will not get to meet this side of eternity, but Jesus, because we walked in obedience to the next step you've called us to, we're going to get to celebrate it on the other side. So thank you, Jesus, for that. Thank you that you allow us to do this every week. We've done nothing to earn this. We've done nothing to deserve this.